Our closing speaker on this occasion is Alan Drury. Can we know that the Bible is the Word of God?
Is the Bible the Word of God? That's the question that I was given. And it's a huge task. Not so much huge in the sense that it's difficult to answer. But if I'm talking to someone out in the world today who does not believe that the Bible is the Word of God, how do I go about in everyday conversation and trying to relay what I know about the Bible and what I know that God's Word says to those people? Well, I think one of the big things that we've done a disjustice in and maybe an insufficient job is our willingness to understand, first of all, what the Bible has to say about inspiration. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, he says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or thoroughly furnished unto every good work. In that particular scripture, the Apostle Paul says in this that all scripture, not a few scripture, not some scripture, but all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. We understand that all scripture there, and he's talking from the Greek term theopneustos, means that all scripture is God breathed. That means that God breathed into every verse of the Bible. Everything that came from beginning in Genesis chapter 1 to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, is all of God breathed. You know, Jesus, a lot of times, in talking with people, as Brother Robert mentioned earlier, would ask questions. He would begin talking to people and asking questions, or a lot of other times, he may use parables to get the meaning across. And so, when we think about God's Word, the key thing in trying to move people who have never heard anything about God is trying to find a common ground. When we look for common ground, maybe it's some scientific facts and evidences from the Christian's perspective and how we can try to move them from what the Scriptures teach and maybe something that they know to then teaching them more about God's Word. And so we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But in examining what this book we call the Bible is, I think it's best that if we look at what Jesus used and what he meant by the Word of God in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the Word of God is found 44 times. In it, Jesus used that, of course, many times in proving that God's Word, that it came from him and that it resided in him. And as we mentioned earlier, it was God breathed by him. So, when we think about this, I want you to open your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 10. It's a familiar passage, but maybe so much that we don't think of from the lesser to the greater. But I want us to examine a few passages of Scripture, and then we'll try to make some other things that maybe that you did not know, that may be common ground that we can talk with our neighbors, our friends, co-workers, people who know nothing about the Word of God. And then we can prove to them from the Scriptures that, of course, God's Word is true. In John chapter 10, let's begin in verse 30. We're going to just read a few verses here in the background to get the context of what we're trying to draw some conclusions from. Jesus says there, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we don't stone thee, or we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them and said, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. The point that Jesus was making and what he was drawing from was from the book of Psalms. In the 82nd chapter and in the 6th verse, this particular phrase, ye are gods, is found. And many times this passage of scripture gets twisted and distorted. And so I want to lay the background of the 82nd Psalm. The psalmist there is talking about people whom God had given the authority and responsibility to rule over Israel. They were judges, so to speak, and God had given them that authority. But they had misused that authority because they had basically not taken care of the poor and the afflicted and those who were widows. And so they had misused that God-given authority, and in a sense, they were gods in the sense that God had given them authority. They were rulers over the people of Israel. And so when Jesus took this passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, and he said to these Jews, "Is it not written in your law, you are gods? If you call them gods, unto the word of God," there's our key phrase there, "unto whom the word of God came, then the scripture cannot be broken." The point that Jesus was making was this. If God the Father, in Christ, of course, who was there, who gave this specific law to the Jews and gave them that authority to know how to rule and how to make a right judgment from the Old Testament scriptures, and that scripture cannot be broken, how much more should the words of Christ and the fact that he claimed to be the Son of God, which the Old Testament scriptures proved, should they have listened to him? You see, the point was that Jesus was the Son of God, and they who in the Old Testament who were given the authority to be called in the sense of God's there failed to listen to what God had given them instructions to do. And here they are again in the New Testament, failing to see and listen to the instructions of Christ, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. John 1 and verse 21. Jesus mentions here that the scripture cannot be broken. And the point that he's making here is this. That when God gives instructions, you remember what we said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Every scripture that's in the Bible has authority behind it. And when the scripture is put there before people, men can either accept it or they can reject it. That's their options. But you see, it's left to you and I to make sure that we relate what the scriptures say. And so it's very important that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. Because you see, people aren't just going to know the scripture just because they have a Bible. You see, many people have a Bible in their home. Matter of fact, I should say that most of the people in the United States have access to a Bible. But you see, they don't know the scriptures. They don't understand the scriptures because they don't search it. No, they may have read it. They may have examined it. They may even have listened to what their preacher said. But the majority of people are looking for an answer. So it's up to you and I. New Testament Christians, we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out. Try nothing for the meat. And that's the point Jesus was making. The scriptures are the authority of God. But you and I have the responsibility of making sure that people understand that. Now, how do we go about doing that? Well, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus had a way of telling things and using stories to relay the Word of God or the Kingdom of God to people. And so he taught things that people were familiar with in everyday life. Maybe, if you think about this with me, think about the parable of the sower in Luke 8. We're going to look at that just shortly. We all know the story. We understand that there's four types of soul. There's four types of heart, so to speak. And Jesus says that only one of the four, only 25% of them will produce good fruit or bring forth good fruit in the sense of what God's asking for. And in Luke 8:11, we find that the seed is the Word of God. The seed, of course, has to be scattered by us. Therefore, we need to know what the scriptures teach so that we can spread that seed to other people. We can't be choosy. We can't say, well, that person over there, he looks like he'll be a good candidate today to hear the word of God. Or this person over here, no, we can't be respecter of people. no more than God is. God's not a respecter of persons. Romans 2:11. But instead, you see, we have to be people willing to spread it out there, to get the word out there, the truth of the gospel out to people who are lost. Now, in Luke 8, Jesus uses a familiar thing that people that he addressed there understood. They understood about planting. They understood about growing things. They understood about sowing. If you don't think so, think about where the location was. Think about in the city of Palestine, in the seashores of Galilee, many times it was tough terrain, wasn't it? It was not the most fitting places. But Jesus knew that these people knew what planting resulted in. And so he used that to identify with the people he was addressing. He found common ground, so to speak. And then he took a parable, and a parable means to lay aside, and he said, okay, here is the soul. Here is the seed. And then he took spiritual truths and he put it right alongside physical truths. And once he did that, he allowed people to draw the conclusions from that parable. And he even told them what it meant. Now, what lessons can we learn from that particular thing about the Word of God? Well, the first thing that we can learn is that we have to look for things and opportunities to make things available for people that they already know something about. I can't go up and talk to someone about rocket science. I can't go up and talk to them about astrophysics. Why? Because I know nothing about it. But you know what I do know about? I do know about the Bible. I know something a little bit about the Bible. Because you see, every day I have the responsibility of studying the Bible. That's why those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, Acts 17:11. Why? They studied daily. They examined the scriptures daily. And in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, he says, be ready. Be sanctified in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer. An apologia. We're going to look at some apologetics here in just a few minutes, some Christian evidences. To be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks it for the hope that is in you. Now, I don't know what that hope is, but I'm pretty sure the scripture tells me that Jesus Christ is the hope of glory, Colossians 1. He's in us. He's in our hearts. Is he in our minds? Philippians 2. We've got to be ready to give an answer to people. We've got to be prepared. No man goes into a battle, Jesus said in Matthew, I believe it is, chapter 17, no man goes into a battle without first counting the cost. We're over here fighting a war right now. Have been for the last 10 years. We had to think about what was going to happen when we sent troops over there. Sometimes I wonder if we did. But you see, the Christian battle requires that we have the perfect weapons. The right weapons. You know, we're told in Ephesians 6 that we have to be prepared against the wiles of the devil that we may be able to withstand. Having the breastplate of righteousness. Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There's our term again. Some of us, our sword is gold. Some of us, our helmet is not what it needs to be. Our breastplate is not firm like it should be. because we're, as Brother Robert mentioned a while ago, we may be caught up into things in our society, worlds. So now, Jesus talked about the Word of God. And as I mentioned about this, I want to look at a few more things and really see, is the Bible the Word of God?